Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. And as is often the case, we have some truly bombshell information to share with you today in an upcoming interview, which I've actually just completed with Karen Kingston. And I can tell you that in this interview, Karen Kingston calls for law enforcement across the state of Florida to confiscate every COVID-19 so-called vaccine bioweapon that still exists in the state of Florida. And she lays out her case for doing so. And she also agrees that those who made these biological weapons available to harm children should themselves be arrested and prosecuted for the felony crime that it is in the state of Florida to make biological weapons available to others, it turns out. So that's going to be a fascinating interview coming up. And it's no joke. We are living in a war zone. Bioweapons are being deployed, as you know. Financial weapons are being deployed. And now we've seen that kill lists are also being pursued. So let me take you to this first story here. I'm going to show you my screen. This is a pop-up that you see at expose.news.com. And it says, an attempt was made to fatally harm our editor in the establishment's latest effort to silence us once and for all. Thankfully, they failed, but not without seriously injuring our editor, who has now been forced to watch from afar while they recover. So let me read also from the top of the screen. We've been censored, defunded, had funds restricted, and now our editor was almost totally injured by the establishment to try to silence us for good. We are on the brink of collapse and urgently need your help. Millions read the expose, but just 0.1% support us. So if you would consider, we have supported this website in the past. If you would consider supporting the expose and helping out with their outstanding work and also with their editor. I don't know the editor of the expose, just saying, by the way, I would like to. In fact, whoever is the editor of the expose, I'd like to have you on once you recover. But folks, it's no joke that the injuries, the attacks on health freedom champions are very, very real. So they tried to kill this editor. And we know that they also, at least it is my substantial belief, evidence-backed belief, that they killed Dr. Rashid Buttar, who I talked about in a podcast over the weekend. And then, by the way, even after they kill you, they defame you in the media. Because I saw a story today that said, COVID conspiracy theorist Dr. Rashid Buttar died after claiming that he had been poisoned after a CNN interview. Well, it's not a conspiracy theory if they poison you and they kill you and you were saying they're trying to kill me. That's a fact. And I don't know, how can the mainstream media be so cruel to say that, oh, Dr. Buttar, he died after he said they were trying to kill him and he died from, you know, this horrible condition, which is a result of being poisoned with venom peptides, by the way, or whatever they're using in these bioweapons. I mean, that killed him and they still call him a conspiracy theorist. So even in your death, you will never be vindicated for being right about this. That's how evil the establishment is. And may Dr. Buttar, may he rest in peace. I offer prayers and condolences to his family members and any support that we can offer as well. Reach out to us. We'll be happy to help. It's very sad and it's disheartening that even someone who is absolutely correct about being targeted and being poisoned and being killed is still derided as a conspiracy theorist by the complicit corporate media. And then that again, someone here from expose.news, they tried to kill this person as well. And people wonder why I have a security dog. I mean, seriously, some people are like, oh, that's crazy. You never need a security dog. Are you kidding me? You have any idea the war that we are in? You know, why am I armed all the time? Huh? There's a very good reason for that. And speaking of firearms, by the way, what you're looking at right here, this is an arm brace. This is like an AR-15 pistol arm brace. And these arm braces, here, let me put it on our desktop camera here. These arm braces, if they are attached to an AR-15 pistol, will become illegal, according to the ATF, on June 1st. And so you only have a few days remaining to, quote, comply with the law, which according to the head of the ATF, testifying recently, he said that you can simply remove this, just take this off the pistol. This is what he said, although the ATF's regulations aren't very clear about this, but he said you can remove this and then you would no longer have what the ATF considers to be an SBR or a short-barreled rifle. I'm not your attorney. You should decide for yourself. You should probably watch Washington Gun Law on YouTube, by the way, and make up your own decision, know the laws yourself. But if you do remove this from an AR-15 pistol, oh, by the way, this is an arm brace from a company called Maxim, which I think makes the very best PDW weapon, by the way, personal defense weapon, I guess. If you do remove this, you might be wise to then keep it separate from the rest of that firearm so that the ATF can't come along and say, oh, well, you meant to put it back together. Well, maybe put this in a different location, a different building, different, I don't know, give it to one of your friends or something, have them store it, I don't know. I mean, it's legal to own this separately and it's legal to own an AR-15 pistol separately. But again, starting June 1st, it's illegal to have them connected, which again, is completely insane, another violation of our Second Amendment rights. And, you know, to the ATF, damn you for making me have to remove these from perfectly good personal defense weapons, by the way, like the Maxim weapon, which was a great, I have one of these in 7.62x39, and yet it's very compact and just really portable, a really great self-defense weapon. And now I'm not going to be able to have that in my car, for example. I have to choose something else because of the freaking ATF. All they're doing is empowering and emboldening criminals and punishing law-abiding citizens who simply want to protect themselves from the increasing violence that is being caused by the policies of the Biden regime. They're just unleashing mass violence on the streets of America while targeting health freedom advocates for assassinations or execution attempts, by the way. And they're trying to criminalize everybody who has a self-defense firearm, especially those who are women and they need the arm braces because it's a format that they can carry better. It doesn't require as much upper body strength to have a shorter barrel with an arm brace in a pistol configuration for a lot of elderly individuals and women in particular who don't have very strong upper body mass. It was the perfect self-defense weapon for them. They can no longer carry that. So I don't want to use profanity here. I'm not going to give the ATF a reason to arrest me, so I am going to remove arm braces from, you know, the AR pistols that I have. But damn you, ATF, for taking away the rights of law-abiding citizens to defend themselves. Damn you. It's becoming increasingly insane. Okay, let's go to censored.news here. This is where you can check the breaking news headlines throughout the day. And at the top of this page, censored.news, this is where I post headlines of some of the stories that I'm looking at. And then below that, you get the automatically spidered headlines from all these other independent sites like Epoch Times and InfoWars and so on and so forth. Here's a good article. Scott Ritter, How Americans Fell for Washington's War Racket. Yeah, that should be good. We got to have Scott Ritter back on the show here. But looking at today's headlines, here's something that is just astonishing. This comes from the libertydaily.com, which is a great site to check out, by the way. And they're citing J.D. Rucker, who's another guest we need to have back on, by the way. J.D. Rucker does great work. Why were 50 senators just given satellite phones as part of a new security measures by the sergeant at arms? So 50 senators have just been issued satellite phones by the Senate Sergeant at Arms as part of new security measures. And this came from Disclose TV. The devices are part of a new security measures being offered to all U.S. senators by the Senate Sergeant at Arms. Expensive and bulky phones were offered to 100 senators, with at least half accepting them. This move has prompted conspiracy theorists to wonder if the government is aware of coming events that could disrupt standard cellular communications. Well, it's not a conspiracy theory when your rogue, quote, President Joe Biden is trying to start a nuclear war with Russia. That's not a conspiracy theory. That is an absolute fact. Now that Russia conquered Bakhmut, and then Biden comes along and says, well, hey, let's throw F-16s into the mix. Let's just escalate it a little bit more. Well, who's going to fly those F-16s? It's going to be American pilots, obviously. There aren't enough trained Ukrainian pilots to actually pilot those planes. So they're going to have American servicemen and perhaps women flying the planes, getting shot out of the sky by Russian anti-air defense systems, which are very capable. And you're going to have American prisoners of war held by Russia. And then Russia might say, well, gosh, America is now fighting us directly. I guess then at that point, then all of America's cities, from the point of view of Russia, might be, you know, fair targets for them. And then it's ICBMs and it's hypersonic nuclear missiles in the sky. And then, boom, aircraft carriers start getting blown up. And, boom, a nuke hits Washington, D.C. And then Obama's laughing his head off because that's what he wants. And that's why you're going to need something like a satellite phone. Here, folks, here, check out my desk camera here. We've been promoting satellite phones for a couple years now. This is one of the Inmarsat phones, and this is the Bivy Stick, which is two-way satellite text messaging, and you know the Satellite Phone Store is our sponsor. So visit them at SAT123.com, by the way. So visit them at SAT123.com, and you can get, this is an Iridium phone, this is an Inmarsat phone, they have packages with solar generators, they have Faraday bags, they have solar panels, they have all kinds of things. Many, many options available there. But I got to tell you, if the senators are now being issued these satellite phones, what does that tell you? It's not a conspiracy theory that you're going to need a satellite phone when the domestic power grid goes down and the cell towers go down. How are you going to communicate? And the military uses satellites. And frankly, most wealthy people at this point have sat phones. I mean, if they're aware of what's going on, they have sat phones and they have backup communications plans. And right now, because of the Satellite Phone Store, it's not that expensive to get one of these phones. You just pay a monthly fee, and they give you the phone as part of a commitment, like a one-year commitment typically, or you get the Bivy Stick for a much lower monthly price. You just pay one monthly fee, and you get almost, for the Bivy Stick, you get almost unlimited texting, I believe. I'd have to check the details, but for the satellite phone, you get a certain number of minutes and they accumulate and they roll over month to month, so you can save up all your minutes and you can use them in an emergency, which could be a storm, it could be a power grid failure, it could be World War III, it could be whatever the senators are anticipating. Again, why are senators, 50 senators, have taken these sat phones? What do they know that might be coming that might justify the need for a satellite phone? Well, it's pretty obvious that they know things are about to get very, very bad. We're looking at not only the escalation of war with Russia, potentially nuclear weapons, we're also looking at a financial collapse that might be just around the corner. Now, this debt ceiling situation, will the debt ceiling actually be, resolved here by early June, or is the United States going to default on its debt? Do you realize that if the U.S. defaults on its debt, you know what that's going to do to the dollar? You know what that's going to do to the banking system? You know how much panic that's going to cause? Oh, and by the way, a whole bunch of government employees won't get their paychecks, which I know at some in some sense you might celebrate that, but it's also, there's a lot of people who would be in dire straits because of that, who aren't necessarily evil people, who are just working for some government agency, and they would start to panic. They couldn't feed their families. And that's not a good situation for anybody. I mean, yeah, we need to cut government spending. We need to cut the size of government, but let's do it in a rational way. Not just like, oh, it's the end of everything and everybody panics in the streets. That's not a good outcome, but we may be headed toward that, by the way. Let's bring up usdebtclock.org. Hold on, I'm typing one-handed here. usdebtclock.org and see where we are. The U.S. national debt right now, almost at $32 trillion, you can see here, but there is a much more interesting number that's down here in the bottom part of this. Here it is, U.S. unfunded liabilities. You see that number there? $188 trillion. U.S. unfunded liabilities, that's Medicare, that's Social Security, and probably some other programs in there as well. So look, what you need to understand is that The U.S. national debt is out of control. The unfunded liabilities are out of control. And yeah, sure, they can print more money and kick the can down the road, as they say, a little bit longer, but not much longer. And it might be, although I'm not convinced of this yet, but it might be that they've decided to just crash the system in June, you know, coming up in 2 weeks or less. It could be. Maybe they've decided this is their opportunity to pull off their great currency reset. They're going to collapse the currency like on June 10th or something, and then just try to roll out CBDCs. Personally, I don't think they're ready for the CBDCs yet. I think they need more time to build the tech and try to convince people to use it. I think they're going to find some way to print more money a little bit longer. That's my opinion. Not everybody agrees with me on that, but we should be prepared just in case they decide to collapse the entire dollar-based financial system. You need to be ready in case that happens. And by the way, speaking of that, tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central, I will be joining a channel on YouTube for a live stream, unedited, live, from the studio. I'll be joining a channel called Uncle Vigilante, and he is an advocate of a specific privacy crypto solution. I have been purchasing just about every privacy coin that you can think of. I have been learning how to buy them and how to sell them and how to do cross-chain trades, trade them for Bitcoin, for example. Just in order to learn the ecosystems, I've been doing mining, I've been doing wallet crashes and restorations on other systems. I've been testing a lot of things about these privacy coins. And I announced over the weekend on my Telegram page, which is Real Health Ranger, by the way, and you can also follow me on brighteon.social, that's Health Ranger there. But if you go to Telegram, just follow me on Real Health Ranger. I announced that I am in the process of removing whatever savings I have from the fiat currency banking system. And I am moving my own personal savings into gold and crypto. I mean, and when I say gold, I mean gold and silver, actually, like metals and crypto. I believe those are the two solutions for portability, but also asset protection, for surviving the hyperinflation that's going to kick in, but also surviving the bank collapses that appear to be accelerating. I've decided I want the least exposure possible to the Western dollar-based financial system, because I think they could turn the whole thing off in one day. And that day might be in June, for all we know. I mean, we don't know for sure, but it could be. Whereas if you have gold and silver, you control it. It's your money. No one can stop you from holding it and, you know, bartering with it or spending with it. Same thing with privacy coins in crypto, or crypto that has privacy features. No one can stop you from using it. No one can stop you from trading it. No one can stop you from owning it. If it's a privacy-oriented coin, no one even knows you own it. It's completely off the grid. Although, of course, you need a power grid. You need, you know, functioning internet in order to use that. But that's why you also have gold and silver. In case we have a total Mad Max collapse, you still need gold and silver for that. But I am not going to leave much of anything in the fiat currency banking system. I don't trust the system. I don't trust the government running it. I don't trust the central banks. I don't trust the Federal Reserve. I don't trust any of them. In fact, I tend to agree with the author of this book. Let me show you here, a man named Derek Brose. You see that book there? How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. Now, Derek Brose is, we're going to have him in studio here at some point here. I believe he's running for the mayor of Houston, Texas, by the way. And this is a fantastic book that talks about unbanking, among other topics, how to avoid being surveilled, how to avoid being tracked, how to avoid being controlled, how to live as just a free human being. And Derek Brose, who I've interviewed before a few years ago, he really gets it. He understands what this is about. And we'll have him in studio coming up to do an interview about that topic and much more as well. But, you know, look, I don't trust that our currency is going to survive much longer. I really don't. I don't think our banking system is going to be around much longer. I mean, not as it currently exists. I'm not saying it's all going to crash tomorrow, but we need to be prepared for the bail-ins, the bank freezes, the emergency declaration by the fake President Biden, the puppet proxy president, when he says, oh, it's a big emergency, we're shutting down all the banks for your safety, and please report to the nearest, you know, quarantine camp, and then they're going to have the humanoid robots to monitor your obedience at the camp, and then, of course, they're going to roll out another plandemic, and it's going to have another injection with, you know, whatever bioweapon they've come up with because they didn't kill enough people the first time around. I mean, you know how this script goes. And I feel sorry for the oblivious masses who are just, they've just buried their heads in the sand. They don't want to hear anything about reality, and they're all just going to line up to be suicided in these quarantine camps. And there's nothing that we can do to stop them, it turns out. It's unbelievable. In other news, this story is from Infowars.com. Target becomes the latest target of anti-woke boycott as it sells, get this, Satanist Pride LGBTQ products for kids. And if you go through this story, it's absolutely shocking. It says, here's some of the items. They say, We Belong Everywhere. That's a messenger bag. Too Queer for Here. Cure Transphobia, Not Trans People. Pride Adult Clothing. And then it says, there's something in here. It says that Satan respects pronouns. Here it is. Satan respects pronouns. He loves all LGBT plus people. Oh, yes, indeed he does. Satan loves LGBT plus people who worship Satan. Not all LGBT people worship Satan, by the way. But in the trans segment of that, there are a lot of Satanists, a lot of child mutilators and pedophiles, by the way. So the fact that they're saying, oh, Satan respects pronouns should be no surprise whatsoever. But Target is now, I guess, partnering with Satan at this point. And Target is actually a verb that describes what this retail chain is doing to your children. They are targeting your children for Satan. So if you want to sacrifice your children to Satan, shop at Target. If you love having satanic influence and mutilating your children's genitals, shop at Target. If you think that your baby boy was born with an extra scrotum and penis, or your baby girl was born with extra breasts and female reproductive organs, then shop at Target, because Target will target your children for mutilations and Satanism. And Target is pure evil, more evil than Bud Light, if that's possible. So stop shopping at Target completely, frankly, forever. And this is insane. I'm just going through this article, all this transsexual stuff targeting children. It's off the wall insane. I mean, look at this stuff. This is the kind of stuff that's targeting children. It's just heteronormativity is a plague. See that? A little demon gargoyle creature there. A little demon claws on this person. Saying that if you're a normal person, you're a plague. You see, that's the way Satan sees our world. Satan sees humanity, especially those who love God, as being a plague upon the world that Satan seeks to control. So there you go. Target now has a whole new meaning. You have been targeted by Satan, and Satan wants your children, and so does Target. Now, moving on to other terrorists in the world, this is from the Gateway Pundit. Croatian EU parliamentarian Mislav Kolakuzic, maybe, publicly declares WHO a terrorist organization. In a stunning statement, this man, whose name I mispronounced, is a member of the European Parliament for Croatia, publicly declared the World Health Organization to be a terrorist organization. I would like to briefly make the people aware of the upcoming danger for humanity, he said. The WHO wants all countries to sign an agreement handing over the authority to declare a pandemic, to procure vaccines and drugs. He said it will be healthier and safer for humanity to sign an agreement with the Colombian drug cartel. They know all about drugs for sure. And he goes on to say the WHO told only lies. It should be declared a terroristic organization, which I agree with. They lied. And it goes on and on. But this is exactly correct. This is an outspoken person here, very rare. The WHO, all of its leaders should be, in my opinion, arrested and prosecuted for their crimes against humanity. In fact, there is a an ever-growing list of people who should be arrested and prosecuted for crimes against humanity and children. And as Karen Kingston says in the interview coming up, she says that that list should include executives at the vaccine manufacturers as well. And it's kind of hard to argue with that, given what they did. Now, next story from AmericanWireNews.com. Starts at birth or even before. Med school professor says gender transition is a normal thing. So here we have med schools that claimed they were rooted in evidence-based medicine, now claiming that you can change the gender of a child by mutilating it and castrating it with chemicals. So this transgender-pushing doctor, this is a New York pediatrics professor, said that transgenderism starts at birth or even before birth. Oh my goodness. Do they want to chop off the penises of unborn babies? Or do they just want to butcher them before they're born? Or maybe one first and then the other? I mean, these are some sick, demonic, twisted people. I mean, these people are mentally ill and they're violent against children at a level that's just absolutely sickening. So this comes out of Fox News, actually, which talks about this professor of pediatrics at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine. And she said that changing the gender of a child is a normal thing. And we have to understand that gender is on a spectrum. No, it isn't. It's male and female. That's it. She says there's not just men and women. Sometimes a child's gender identity matches the chromosomes or the genitals they were born with, but sometimes it doesn't. So chop them off, she wants to imply. So chop them off. What a sick, twisted individual, in my opinion. Sick, twisted. So it honestly starts at birth or even before. What? These child mutilators are, in my opinion, demon-infested entities that are at war with humanity and God's creation. We are so far down the rabbit hole of beyond sickness or mental illness. We are into extreme, in my opinion, demonic infestation or influence of individuals throughout the conventional medical system. Many doctors talk like this now. Med schools, they're teaching doctors to imagine, pretend genitalia and to treat biological men with OBGYN services for women, because the man claims to be a woman. I mean, these people are beyond insane. And these are going to be all the doctors soon. All the doctors are going to be woke, idiot, lunatic mutilators if we don't turn this around and get back to reality. And at the same time, they'll say, oh, a man can become a woman, but we practice evidence-based medicine. Are you kidding me? You're an idiot. You're a fool. You're a demon, evidence-based medicine. A man can have a child and all vaccines are safe and effective. Yeah, right? Lie after lie after lie, but ludicrous lies. I have a question for you. When do you think that the tipping point of peak woke will be reached? I mean, at what point is it just so absurd that everybody just starts laughing and just pushes back against the insanity? I mean, are we going to have doctors running around hospitals now? I don't know. Naked, running up and down the halls, claiming they self-identify as a doctor that's wearing clothing? Are we going to have doctors that try to operate on patients that think they're lizard people? And so they come in and the trying to operate on the lizard tail. Oh, a patient comes in, I'm a lizard person with a lizard tail. Doctor, operate on the tail. And the doctor has to say, oh, what a magnificent, amazing lizard tail you have. Then again, for some of these globalists, that might not be such an exaggeration. Who knows? But the doctors are going to pretend to be working on lizard tails attached to humans. I mean, it's so far beyond insane. I don't even know. It's hard to describe at this point. How do we get back to a world rooted in reason and rationality? I mean, you and I are on the same ride here. We're living in the same realm, in the same moment in history. Have you ever seen anything this insane before? What, I mean, even in biblical times, the Bible talks about a lot of things going wrong in a lot of civilizations throughout history. Even, I can't think of anything in the Bible, not even Sodom and Gomorrah, that was this crazy. I mean, it's a lot of crazy stuff. A lot of civilizations turn against God, you know, and then their crops failed and things went horribly wrong and then a lot of people died in poverty. But now, I mean, even in the Bible, they weren't just chopping off children's genitals and having the medical profession pretend that people are, you know, 75 different genders on a spectrum of imaginary biology. That, I don't think that's in the Bible. I mean, there were maybe warnings about transhumanism in the Bible, but nothing this crazy was ever described to my knowledge. It's just beyond insane. You know, what do we do with this? Where do we go from here? I say we stand firm with our beliefs in reality, our beliefs in God, our beliefs in family, our beliefs in the integrity of the human race and human genetics, and we avoid all the nanotech in the vaccines, we avoid the mRNA, we avoid the transhumanism, and we take care of our health, which has to include our own, you know, psychic health, mental health, physical health, physiological health, and we have to avoid exposure to toxins as well. On that point, by the way, don't forget this Thursday, we're launching these new pillows. As you can see, I have one here on my desk here. This is a silver-infused, lab-validated pillow. It's got silver infused in the pillowcase, both the outer case and the inner case. The outer pillowcase and then the inner shell, as it's called. So it's silver infused right here. And then there's a zipper right here where you can determine how much of the Kapok fiber you want. And the fill is actually this Kapok fiber, which is naturally antifungal, naturally repels water. It doesn't even like to get wet. You dunk it in water and it won't even absorb water. It is naturally antibacterial. Plus, we have the silver infusion. These pillows, and we're partnering with the Silverite company to launch this line of pillows. Sorry, I got fiber on me here. To launch this line of pillows starting this Thursday on our Memorial Day sale, and they'll be 10% off at healthrangerstore.com. So if you want to get your hands on these, we only have a small quantity of these right now before the next production run. Next production run will be certified organic cotton. And we're going to go organic from here forward for the whole thing. Certified organic cotton with the Kapok fiber plus the silver infusion that offers multiple layers of protection against all kinds of toxins that can often lurk in pillowcases and bed sheets and so on. And don't even get me started about the cheap filler material that's used in a lot of, you know, pillows sold at Target, for example. Just the cheapest, crappiest polyurethane, probably Satan-infested filler material at Target, or who knows what they're selling at Walmart. You want healthy filler material, this is it. And granted, it's not a cheap pillow, not by any means, but it's silver-infused, it's Kapok with the fiber, and so it's naturally antifungal, antibacterial, will help you get a good night's rest. It will help you in so many ways with your natural immune support, natural sinus health, skin health on your face, because your face touches your pillowcases, obviously. Anyway, check it out coming up this Thursday, healthrangerstore.com, 10% off for the Memorial Day weekend sales event that we have coming up. This is what I sleep on, but I don't sleep on this much fiber. You see how thick this thing is? Look at that. That is a thick pillow, right? It's way too thick for me. So I take out like 2/3 of this fiber and I store it in a box, and then I can always use it later, you know, or in something else. But I only use about 1/3 of that Kapok. And for me, that's just about right. So these are adjusting pillows, which is really handy to have. Okay, here's something I wanted you to see. This is from Michael Yon, our friend on the border. And he's tweeted about this. Look at this unused border wall construction material just sitting there because, I mean, they don't want to build the border wall, right? Because, of course, we're living in a time of intense treason when, I mean, all the materials are there. This is a little drone shot. Pretty amazing. There's the wall stacked on the ground to let the illegals keep coming through. Look at that. Unbelievable. It's like our nation is committing suicide. All they have to do is erect the damn wall. Look at this. This is a great drone shot, by the way. Whoever flew this drone is doing a great job. Look at that. There it is. All available. But just sitting there doing nothing. So, look, Michael Yan, unused border wall in New Mexico last week. I came to the same spot days after puppet Biden was installed into office, and I just returned millions of dollars of border walls sitting unused as America is invaded by millions and we pour buckets of billions into Ukraine. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Can't even build a border wall for our own country, but can send over $100 billion to Ukraine. This republic is just about gone. And it's being ripped apart deliberately every single day by the Democrats in particular, and Joe Biden and O'Biden or Obama. And, you know, almost everybody with a D next to their name just absolutely wants to gut this country and rip it to shreds. And they've almost achieved that. We're almost there. So get ready for a total collapse scenario, folks, because, I mean, you tell me, how is that going to be averted? How do we not have a financial collapse? How do we not have hyperinflation and collapse of the dollar? How do we not end up in a civil war? How do we not end up in World War III? I mean, the border's wide open. They're rushing in millions of military-aged Chinese nationals and Central and South American males, some of whom obviously work for the narco drug cartels, just waiting for activation instructions. How do we stop that if we won't even protect the border of the nation? I mean, what is the U.S. military even doing? Other than, I guess, under the leadership, the quote leadership of the LGBT-friendly Austin and others at the Pentagon having like drag queen parties or something on the submarines. Who knows what's going on? Why aren't you defending the border? Why are you worried about, you know, gay helicopter crews? Why are you worried about transgenderism in the military and promoting it instead of building the damn wall, huh? I mean, the level of treason is off the charts. And every one of these Pentagon leaders right now that pretend to be generals and Secretary of Defense and whatever, in my opinion, every single one of them should be investigated for acts of treason against this nation. And if there's sufficient evidence, they should be arrested and prosecuted for it. Will the evil ever be stopped? There's a question. Maybe until the day Christ returns, if you think that's in our lifetime, then maybe that's the only answer here. If not, we are in for a world of hurt for years to come as people die all around us. And of course, they're dying from the vaccines and other bioweapons. And I think now we should go to that interview with Karen Kingston, because she gives an astonishingly detailed analysis of the bioweapons. And as is the case with a lot of these interviews, the interview with Karen Kingston just gets stronger and stronger the deeper we go into it. So if you only have half an hour to watch that interview, watch the last half hour. It's even stronger than the first, but the whole thing is good. Just the last half hour is even more powerful. So that interview straight ahead right here on Brighton Broadcast News. In the meantime, support us at healthrangerstore.com. We also have, by the way, hand-roasted whole bean coffee. This is super delicious. We've got a lot of coffee products, including freeze-dried coffee, available now. Certified organic, fair trade. People rave about this. They love this. It's at healthrangerstore.com, along with the silver pillows that are coming out. Well, they're available now, but they'll be on sale later this week, starting Thursday, midday. So support us at healthrangerstore.com, and we thank you for your support. And here's the interview with Karen Kingston. This interview will blow your mind. Get ready, straight ahead. Welcome to today's interview here on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, the free speech video platform. And today we're joined by another free speech champion and also an analyst, researcher, remarkable woman. Her name is Karen Kingston. You know her. We've interviewed her before. Her Substack is karenkingston.substack.com. And she joins us today with a new demand letter that you will find to be really, well, to contain bombshell information. A demand letter for all the counties in the state of Florida to immediately remove COVID-19 vaccine bioweapons from their counties. Welcome to the show today, Karen. It's always an honor to have you back on.
Thanks for having me, Mike. It's an honor to be here. And yeah, I'm excited to share, my med legal analysis with your audience. As I mentioned to you before we started recording, is I think a lot of people, if they follow me, they know I've been working with a lot of the residents in Florida. I've met with county commissioners, I met with sheriffs down there, and then I started, reaching out to other states as well. I did a call a few weeks ago with some people in Colorado, and I wrote a this demand letter for them, and then the folks in Florida said, "Hey, we want a copy of that as well." So they really are taking action. We're not going to be rescued by the federal government, obviously, and even the leaders at the state level, we're not seeing the type of action that we need to protect our communities. I know your Attorney General Paxton. He started a civil investigation, into Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson and Johnson, but and that's fantastic. I mean, I applaud him for that. But at the end of the day, that these injections, by definition, are bioweapons. They are harmful, toxic injections that cause disease, disabilities, and death, and they need to be removed from the community. The same way, if you knew that there was a bomb in your child's building, you would go to your sheriff and say, "Get the bomb out of the building. You don't need a permission from anybody."
Exactly. Really important point you're making right there. So you make an excellent point here, Karen. If there were a dirty bomb that were in a city, or even these days, just a mysterious package, right? Then law enforcement would come in and maybe have a bomb squad, and maybe they would try to remove that. You would hope, especially if they knew that it was going to kill or harm or maim individuals. And yet we have bioweapons in these COVID-19 so-called vaccines, which are not really vaccines. These bioweapons are present in every pharmacy, in every hospital, and they are killing people, and they are maiming people, and they're disabling people by the millions in America right now. So let's walk through your demand letter. I have it up on my screen right now. Let's
Sure.
show that demand letter. It's on your website, karenkingston.substack.com. Let's walk through that.
Yeah, let's definitely go through that. And just let people know, I am a med legal advisor. I used to run med legal meetings for companies like Pfizer and Allergan and whatnot. So this letter is a little bit lengthy, but it is a, if you will, a legalese letter. So the opening is just an example. I just explain what I'm doing. We can keep scrolling through. I just explained that this is an example demand letter for Florida. And then the opening part, you would fill in yourself. It's got two. It has, from your address, and then the demand is clearly there. And then I explain how you can address everyone. Let's say you want to write it to your school board. You list out everyone's name in the school board, and then you go hereafter referred to as the school board. That way you don't have to keep listing out their names. But let's just go straight now into the 12 key pieces of evidence. And the first one is,
I'm on point one, yeah.
A biological agent or device or medical or product that does not prevent infection, does not protect it against disease, was not done under legitimate research, and these were not, is by definition a bioweapon. So we're going to go through those points. So point number one is they don't prevent infection.
Got
In
it.
Pfizer's data, which is straight from their phase three data. So again, one of the def part of the definition of a biological weapon is that it doesn't prevent infection and it doesn't protect against disease. So Pfizer submitted to the FDA on September 17th of 2021 a post hoc analysis on their phase three data. And what they did, I think most people, I believe, are aware of this, but they had the group that was injected with their mRNA technology, and then they had a placebo group. But around, in December of 2020, they began injecting the placebo group. And what they found was when they compared the two groups to one another, these are Pfizer's words. It says, "Our additional analysis appears to indicate that the incidence of COVID-19 generally increased in each group of study participants with increasing time post dose two." And there's a screenshot, it's directly from their documents. So they're
Wow.
saying once you get two doses, your risk for COVID-19 increases. And that is what it means. That's exactly what that means. And this was validated on the next slide in here in the Cleveland Clinic. So the Cleveland Clinic did an analysis of 51,000 employees. Some got zero shots, some got one, two, and some got three or more shots. So they began getting the boosters. Yeah.
Right. The more doses they received, the worse it became.
Yeah. So what they did is they took the time from the last dose over a 90-day period. And what they found is over a 90-day period, if let's say you had two doses versus zero, then you had a threefold increase of getting infected. Now, if you had gotten a booster or two, that went up to a fourfold increase over a 90-day period versus not getting injected. So the more shots you get, the more likely you're going to come down with disease, a disease that they're calling COVID-19.
Okay. Extraordinary, but yes.
Yeah. So the other thing I want to talk about is that this is not a vaccine. And this whole concept that we can play around with the definition of a vaccine is a bunch of nonsense. Mike, there's a thing called a package insert where you get your indication. So when Pfizer got their FDA approval, they have to state what their vaccine does. So you can't tell me this nonsense about it doesn't prevent infection, because in the package insert, it says right there that Comirnaty, you know, or the mRNA vaccines by Pfizer are to prevent COVID-19 disease caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus. That's what it's for. It's to prevent the disease caused by the virus. So it is to prevent infection and transmission. It's in their definition. And that's what they're legally bound to. And they fail to meet that definition.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, because it's not good to play their games about the changing definition of a vaccine. It's best to use what they're legally bound to, which is what's in that package insert and what's also in their studies.
Generally speaking, people believe that a vaccine is supposed to inhibit infection and transmission. I mean, that's what it's supposed to do. And this does not do that. Therefore, it is not a vaccine.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's straightforward.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think, you know, if you were working for Pfizer and defending them, you may want to try to throw in these weird definitions of vaccines it's not even worth, you know, you just say, no, cut it out. That's nonsense. You know what the definition of a vaccine is. It's here in your labeling. It's in your clinical trials over and over again. So that's important. And they fail to meet that definition. So they don't prevent infection, we just showed, and we keep going through. We're also going to show that they don't prevent serious disease.
Okay, so that's point four in your mm-hmm. document here. That it increases the risk.
Yeah, for severe disease and hospitalization. So this whole concept that, you know, you're less likely to be hospitalized, that's a bunch of nonsense too when you look at Pfizer's actual data. So they said within 1 week of their first or second dose in the data they submitted in November 2020, 409 people came down with COVID-19 cases that could have masked clinically significant adverse events, right? So these were severe cases. And they're saying, we're not sure if it was our vaccine or a virus that caused it. It was their injection that caused it.
Of course, yeah.
But they're calling it COVID-19 that wasn't diagnosed, right?
Right.
So that's just some more evidence that it caused severe disease. And that is defined as, there's a full definition below under the initial new drug application if you keep going down. You know, low oxygen levels, respiratory failure, being put on a ventilator, liver failure, kidney failure, neurological dysfunction, admission to the ICU or death. And they're saying, we're not sure if it was our shot or it was a virus. And okay. It happened within 1 week. Yeah. So that's more evidence. And then also we know that all the COVID-19 injections cause stroke, heart attack, autoimmune disease, miscarriages, birth defects, blood clotting, myocarditis, inflammatory syndrome, and other diseases and death.
Yes.
So, yeah. So this slide is very powerful because this shows that they knew these were going to be the outcomes. And if you go on, this also shows that they knew, both Pfizer, the FDA, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna knew that they were breaking the law in regards to FDA safety trials, because this is in violations. You keep going down, 21 USC 312.41. Keep going down. And what that says is that in a phase one trial, if human subjects are going to be put to at an unreasonable risk, you need to stop the trial.
Okay, so criminal human experimentation on civilians, that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that is a really thank you for reading the subtitles that I put up there, because that's a really important point to make, is that, you know, 21 USC is the Food and Drug Consumer Protection Act, and it's put in place so that pharmaceutical companies don't engage in criminal experimentation on adults and children, meaning the product has to be they ha the benefits have to outweigh the risks, right?
Right.
And people are like, well, what is a safe product? It's very easily defined, Mike. It's the FDA defines it as the benefits of the product outweigh the risks. So if there's going to be more harm, then that product is not safe. And if they and Pfizer knew, and all the pharmaceutical companies and biotech companies knew that these injections were going to cause neurological disorders, you know, paralysis, myocarditis, death, autoimmune disease. They knew this was going to happen at a high rate. You know, we saw 409 people within 1 week came down with some kind of severe diseases. That's 2% of that population right there.
Gee.
So they engaged in criminal human experimentation. This is in violation of, and to pretend that they have immunity is in violation of the Fifth and 14th Amendment. No one shall be deprived of your life without due process of law. It's in violation of the Nuremberg Code. It's in violation of Geneva Convention. So this is right out of Mengele. This is right out of World War II experimentation. It's important that people understand that because when they knew this was going to cause more harm, they immediately engaged in a criminal act.
Well, but I agree with you, of course. But knowing that that was a criminal act, shouldn't these FDA officials, frankly, face arrest if they set foot in Florida? I mean, shouldn't Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, actually order Florida law enforcement to arrest FDA officials if they set foot in the state?
I agree with that statement, and they should arrest the individuals at Pfizer who were on the independent review committee. I have those names. It was in the data dump. So the individuals, the scientists that oversaw Pfizer's phase one, two, and three trials, they should all be charged with a class one felony in the state of Florida
Right.
for conspiring an attempted murder, you know, with use of a bioweapon and enabling access to a bioweapon by civilian adults and children. So I
Maybe
agree, the FDA is also.
we can entice them to come to Florida by promising like a Disney pedophile party or something, and then they would come down, and then
Yeah.
DeSantis could just jump in and have
Only if
them
they get
all.
their booster, then they can go on the ride. They've got to get their booster shot, though, right?
Right,
From
exactly.
Pfizer,
No, I mean,
their
but
own.
these, I mean, jokes aside, these are some serious criminals who have mass murdered, in my view, a large number of people. And it may come down to the states to be able to actually carry out the arrests and indictment of these individuals.
It should. I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, obviously, Merrick Garland's not going to do anything, you know, so
Right.
that's never going to happen. So it is going to have to come down to the state level, but I think we're going to need a ground up. We're going to need a ground up swelling. So it's going to take local community members to speak to their law enforcement and to speak to their county commissioners and to speak to their school boards and create a groundswell.
So I agree. And point seven then continues with this, that you say the FDA knowingly placed adults and children at unnecessary risk for injury or death from using a harmful and toxic agent. So here we
Yeah.
go, even more of a criminal offense.
So there's this other misinformation, false information out there that the emergency use authorization laws provide immunity to the FDA and Pfizer. And that's straight from their guidance. And it's also in the laws that based on their known evidence, they have to determine that the benefits outweigh the risks. So they have to determine that the product is safe. It's, you know, it doesn't take, it's in black and white. They knew that these products weren't safe. So they broke their own immunity shields because they ignored the laws that regulate the biologics, vaccine, and medical device industry.
So all it would take is what the proper court to recognize that this immunity shield is null and void.
To get the, well, if we,
Mean,
it, what, well, my, what my goal has been since day one is to stop the, to stop children and adults from being injected with these toxic weapons, right? So the point of this letter is, you know, a sheriff can actually seize these, in law enforcement, can seize the shots without a warrant if they understand the information.
And that, and that's what you're calling for, is for law enforcement to go throughout counties across Florida and seize mm-hmm. these biological weapons that are labeled COVID-19 vaccines.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So okay. we can maybe wrap up the last few points.
Yeah, point eight.
It gets to.
Pfizer and the FDA knowingly place children at unnecessary risk. That's.
Oh, well, this is a good point. But so this is an important point. So they met in June of 2021 to discuss the pediatric studies. And it says right in their own document that to conduct a clinical trial with children to prove reduced infection in the vaccinated children versus unvaccinated would be infeasible, would be impossible, because children don't get infected.
Right.
So there was no risk for the children to begin with. So they can only put them at risk by injecting them. And then it's the next point that that is the most damning point that always makes my blood boil, I believe. The November 20th, 2020. So a lot of people thought that was just for 16 years of age and adults and older. But there was a couple thousand children. They looked at data from 100 children ages 12 to 15, and they submitted that on November 20th. And it says the reactogenicity data, so that's those severe adverse events from 100 children ages 12 to 15, right there it says, does not support a benefit risk determination. Therefore, it's not presented in the document. Pfizer gave the FDA pretty damning evidence on children aged 12 to 15. They clearly state the data showed that this was harmful to children, that the benefits did not outweigh the risks, and they told the FDA to cover up the data.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Literally in black
criminal
and
collusion.
White.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's in black and white. This isn't, it's in black and white, Mike. Literally. They told us. They're like, there's no way this can help kids from our data. We're going to start, they literally scrapped those kids, I'm sorry to use that term, and started over with a new batch of kids. And did antibody testing instead of infection.
So why isn't, I mean, what about the Attorney General of the state of Florida, or what about the Surgeon General of the state of Florida? You know, I mean, he's been outspoken about a lot of this, but what about the AG of states? Are you getting this document into the hands of various AGs around the country?
I have sent it to AG Moody. I've gotten no response. AG Moody is Florida's Attorney General.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I have not gotten this. You know, I hope to be able to get into communications with AG Paxton in Texas.
Yes.
But I just don't. I don't know if you know this, Mike, but I'm kind of ignored. I don't have a seat at the table. So.
Well, but that, I mean, all by design. We are all a push to the margins. They want to silence us all.
Yeah. I mean, I was originally in discussions like with Senator Ron Johnson. And then, you know, I don't know, you know, certain other experts determined there's determinations being made that the other thing is I'm a med legal advisor. I'm an analyst. I literally prepare documents like this that can stand up in a court of law, you know? So I would love to get in touch with these, attorney generals, you know,
well, maybe, yeah, we can probably help to some degree with that. But it seems like, you know, obviously pharma plays a very big role in a lot of governorships, a lot of campaigns, a lot of states across the country. And of course, pharma doesn't want any of this to come out. I mean, what if this liability shield were pierced through a class action lawsuit or a criminal prosecution of some kind? And then it turned out that, well, these drug companies are liable for all the damage and all the deaths that have happened. I mean, this could bankrupt Pfizer and other companies.
It would bankrupt the other companies, and it would bankrupt synthetic biology and parts of the biotech industry, because they're using what they call mRNA technology is the lipid nanoparticle gene editing technology. So SynBio, synthetic biology, is a huge division within biotechnology. The DOD just gave $500 million in this first quarter funding synthetic biology. So that's using lipid nanoparticle technology in food, water, animals, everything, using LNPs to create new species. James Clapper in 2016, former IC advisor under, or I think IC member under Clinton, said that this lipid nanoparticle technology was a weapon of mass destruction. Because when you're forcing the evolution, when you're directing the evolution, your gene editing of species, you're forcing its extinction.
Wow, this is like an extinction protocol targeting human children. Let's go to point nine. You say 40% of Florida residents who were early recipients of the injections experienced serious harm or injury, and they were unable to work or perform other daily activities. And this comes out of the VSafe database. So yeah, I mean, right there's more evidence.
And this is, this is 10 million people downloaded this app who got the injections early. They have 4 million active files, across all 50 states. And it was consistent across all 50 states that 4 out of 10 people either had to go to urgent care, seek medical attention, or could not go to school or work or perform activities. The only state that was an anomaly was Texas. For some reason, it was 15%. But consistently 4 out of 10 people. So if there was a school that was serving some kind of new organic milk, and then the next day, 4 out of 10 students and faculty didn't go to school because they were sick or had to go to the hospital or see a doctor because they drank the new milk, right? They would pull the
Yeah,
milk.
the milk would be banned.
Yeah. And if they didn't, a bunch of parents would show up with the cops and say, pull the milk and arrest the lunch lady, right? I mean, they wouldn't tolerate this. If, yeah, you wouldn't keep serving it.
So,
And
okay.
yeah.
Yeah,
So,
but go ahead.
but what?
Well, it seems like there's a total lack of willingness among local governors or law enforcement to go against the FDA, because the FDA says something, even though it's a total lie and the actual facts contradict what the FDA says. A lot of state governors and state AGs don't want to go against the FDA because they don't want to butt heads with the federal government. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, and I think that there is this kind of theater that happens from government officials and law enforcement where, they'll say they'll start an investigation, which just means they're gonna, an investigation means we're gonna look at it really, really hard. The evidence is in black and white. I mean, it's right there. Pfizer's saying we're harming children, and we're gonna keep doing it.
Wow.
So, I think there's just are the people who truly believe in humanity? I mean, yes, the Constitution, yes, our unalienable God-given rights, but if they actually believe in humanity, they want to protect their neighbors, they want to protect their children, their children's children, and the posterity of not just this country, but literally, of the human species, we need to be much more vocal and active than we are. I mean, I've been disheartened sometimes when I speak to government officials. And there was one woman, and she was a mother and a grandmother. And when I was going through the baby data, and by babies, I mean 6 months to 23 months, right? There's 344 babies who were supposed to receive three microgram shots of Pfizer's vaccine over an 8 week period. Well, Mike, only three babies made it to the end of the 8 weeks. We don't know what happened to 341 babies. Reasons for withdrawal include adverse events and death. And when I asked her, she kept giving me the hand. I said, we need to get these shots pulled out of our communities. Babies are being injected. And her response was, well, abortion clinics are still open.
What? So therefore it's okay to keep killing babies
Well,
and children? I mean,
I don't, yeah, well, but then, I mean, my child is now a grown man. But I mean, I just sat there thinking, I mean, God, if you have a 2-year-old adorable little toddler and you're telling me the government has the right to disable or kill my child because an abortion clinic is open? I mean, it was like talking to a demon.
it's insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is what we're running into more and more. I mean, the normal approach of logic and reason is just completely abandoned. And also the rule of law is abandoned. I mean, let's be honest. We're living in a country where there is no functioning court system any longer that adheres to the rule of law and real justice. The DOJ, the FBI have zero adherence to equal justice under the law, which is one of our constitutional rights, by the way. But the same thing's true in medicine and science. There's they've just abandoned everything, Karen. I mean, you've got Scientific American magazine pushing transgenderism, even though that, you know, they would mock someone who said the earth was flat, but when they say a man can have a baby, then they embrace it and say that's real. So, you know, what they've lost all anchors to reality.
But that's why we need to be vocal, and that's why we need to be active and literally fight like your life depends on it, because it does. I don't think people understand that, you know.
Aren't we past that point almost, though, Karen? I mean, if people were going to wake up, the masses, and fight against their own extermination, they would have done so, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, maybe more. I mean, they're not going to save themselves.
I don't think so. I think people were given hopium, right? I fell for it. When I first came forward, I was told, fix 2020 and Trump's going to come in and fix everything. That was just there's a thing called, you know, people call them psyops. It's called extrinsic fraud in the legal world, which is, you know, someone may misrepresent material evidence or facts or law, you know, or propose something that's fictitious as a resolution that's never going to happen so that victims don't take action. So I think some people had hopium.
So you're saying that the hopium, which is let's invoke a lot of the Q conversations or the white hat conversations, was a ploy to distract people while, you know, the stab wounds to the nation were continuing to be inflicted upon us all. Is that a fair summary of what you're saying?
That was the consequence of it. So what was the, you know, if you want to know someone's intentions, look at the consequences. What were the outcomes?
Yeah.
So what were the outcomes of the Q stories? No one took action.
Well, yeah, it was always a little strange that all the Q information would be so cryptic, you know, so mysterious. It's like, well, if there's really an anonymous person who knows what's happening, why don't they just come out and say it? Why do they have to speak in code all the time if it's public? Right? I mean, there were a lot of signs that something's not right with that.
Yeah. There was a lot of signs with that. I was told though, if we fix the 2020 election, then, you know, Trump's going to come forward and stop the shots and everything. And, you know, that there's no indication that that would ever have, that that's, it was ever going to happen. There's just no indication of it. I think what's happening is people have hope. They're holding on to hopium instead of looking at facts, evidence, and reality.
Well,
and,
yeah,
and that's,
I think you're right.
Yeah. And I think if you take a look at facts, evidence, and reality, then they would be more impassioned to say these injections are bioweapons. They need to be removed. It needs to be the first step in dismantling this attack on our country and this attack on humanity. These can only cause disease, disabilities, and death. There's one of my Substacks that's up there is the DOD contract states that the injections contain electromagnetic devices. People are being injected with nanotechnology. No one was told that, because if they were told that, they would have said no.
Well, right. And let's also get to point 11, because of the current document, it says mRNA vaccines contain nanotechnology that is patented for use as a bioweapon. This is in your story.
Yeah, this is in the Substack. So I pulled this just because this was the easiest document to understand. It's just the publication and was it American Chemical Science? And it states that it just mRNA technology is nanotechnology, right? And this was the gateway to open up the use of nanotechnology on all biological life forms, and specifically in humans. So the manufacturers don't cover up that this is nanotechnology. You know, you can find information on their websites. It's in the DOD contract that these are nanotechnologies. It's in the peer review publications that these are nanotechnologies. Yet, you know, we have leaders on our side that say, don't use the term nanotech because you're going to sound like a crazy person. Well, words influence thought. So people were told they can't use the term nanotech, so they can't think about what was done to them.
Right.
These contain nanotechnology. It's not crazy. It's not a conspiracy theory. And if you go and sit in a synthetic biology conference or go down to Thermo Fisher, you know, or Moderna, they talk about the nanotechnology.
Well, I mean, the medical literature, the scientific literature is rife with all kinds of papers about nanotech, even like gold and silver nanoscale particles used to deliver drugs to people. I mean, it's very common, as you know.
Exactly. And everyone's pretending like it's a crazy theory, and it's not. It's extremely common,
Is.
and it's toxic though too. And the fact that, as you go through, if you go on some of my other Substacks, the fact that these nanotechnologies that they're calling mRNA technologies, that they respond to outside electromagnetic frequencies, is quite scary.
Yes, it is.
They can get outside signals to assemble. They can get outside symbols to move to different parts of the body. They can receive electromagnetic frequencies. This is in the FDA's document that explains nanoparticles to absorb thermal heat to then kill the cells and tissues that they surround.
So you're even showing a patent here. US patent number, what is that? 9539210B2. This is a patent of an NIH-sponsored vaccine nanotechnology for a bioweapon.
It's one of the uses in here is for a bioweapon. So the patent is called Vaccine Nanotechnology. I've
Wow.
had this patent since May of 2021. And on Section 9, it says, we know that these LNPs have payloads. Well, one of the things it can deliver is a chemical toxin, an agent of biowarfare.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah, exactly. It's right there.
right there.
Okay. Well, let's go to point 12 then. So from your post on Substack, a biological weapon or weapons of mass destruction, allowing their use on civilians is a first degree felony in the state of Florida. Good point.
So this we should go. If you're going to make this letter, and I'll do another one for Texas next. But you have to cite the law in your state. So your state law. So every state has a definition for a bioweapon. In the state of Florida, it's Chapter 790, Section 166, and it's under weapons and firearms. And they define biological weapons as weapons of mass destruction. And a biological agent is any biological product that may be engineered through biotechnology.
Okay, that's
Right?
pretty broad.
That is exactly. So that's these lipid nanoparticles, that can be these spike protein payloads, that can be a biological weapon. But then it goes on to the 18 USC that says is known to cause, I don't have it in front of me, disease, disabilities, and death or harm to a human. And then you have the 18 USC was not done it was not done under bona fide research. So that's the bioweapon. And then you can be charged with a felony if you conspire to or allow access to a weapon of mass destruction.
Gosh, I mean, under this, there's a lot of things going on in agriculture that are also bioweapons based on
So
this
that,
definition. Yeah.
well, if they, it depends on, no, it has to be, they have to prove that it's harmful.
Well, right. I'm thinking about certain, for example, corn, GMO corn that's grown with BT toxin. And so it's engineered into the food to grow a toxin that kills living systems. What happens when we eat that toxin, right? So,
Yeah, that should not, that's illegal. That's correct.
yeah, that should be a felony crime. Well, technically, by definition, it is a felony crime. But what you're talking about is even more perverse, which is the people are being injected with these bioweapons.
Yeah, and I think we have to start where we need to start, but I'm on the same page with you in regards to what's being done to our food supply. I've
Yeah.
been sitting in on venture capital conferences for synthetic biology, and it's terrifying. The last conference I sat in, they said they want eggs without chicken, meat without cows, plants without sun or water.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, and they
So,
can do it using lipid nanoparticle technology and CRISPR-Cas9 that's in the LNPs.
eggs without chickens.
Yep.
Then what about mRNA injections into beef? Because then, under this definition, couldn't that also qualify as a biological weapon?
Yeah, because the I have that patent for the use on livestock, and the LNPs, the bioweapons, the nanoparticles, they are virtually indestructible. So they did testing on the meat up to 170 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, just because they were testing to see, like, would it survive a well-done steak, basically. And it does.
Wow. Okay, and then
So.
also in your document here, you cite another Florida law that says a person who conspires to use or who makes readily available to others a weapon of mass destruction commits a felony of the first degree. So, in other words, every doctor, every hospital, every pharmacist that's pushing these COVID bioweapons jabs is also punishable by imprisonment for a term of years not exceeding life. So, in other words, it could be life in prison for that.
Yeah. And that goes to the school boards and stuff too.
Right.
So, but because they're making this, they set up, clinics at schools. And so, this needs to stop. This is, and the fact that, I believe we were misled by people. I said this was a bioweapon from day one. And when we were told to calm down, definitely shouldn't be in children, but let's make it a choice. We've created a confused nation. Right? A confused nation that was unfortunately, and maybe due to lack of knowledge, was being misled. Our side was being misled.
So who is okay, we're all aware of the extreme censorship that has taken place, and there's a lot of evidence coming out now about how the Biden regime and the White House were complicit in the censorship, taking people like you and myself, of course, and others out of the public conversation. But in addition to the censorship, how are they preventing people from learning about this information that you've just compiled?
So I've seen even like a doctor's conferences speaking where a doctors will interrupt someone if they start talking about nanotechnology. They'll say, no, you don't, there's no evidence of nanotechnology. You don't want to call this a bioweapon, right? So that information's being actively suppressed. And then when it was October 2022, I went through the artificial intelligence nanotechnology that the mRNA was just the software programs, that this stuff is all synthetic RNA or DNA. So it's synthetically recreated genetic material, basically. And that was in October of last year, and I got a lot of phone calls to not to to drop, knock it off, to not
Wow.
call these bioweapons, to not talk about the nanotech.
Really?
Yeah.
Even are you talking to, I mean, you don't, I'm not asking you to name any names, but are you mean even from the alternative media or really?
Yeah, and I think people were misled. I'm not saying that all these people had bad intentions.
Right.
I'm just saying that some of them were misled. But if someone is a self-proclaimed expert in this field and is saying there's no such thing as nanotech, there's a problem.
So wait a minute, let me just be
Not
clear.
a doctor. I'm not saying because you're a doctor, you would know that there's nanotech.
Okay. But you're
But
talking
if
about
you,
experts in the field.
yeah.
So people called you and told you to stop talking about nanotech in the vaccines.
Yes, because I had no credibility, and this will just destroy whatever credibility I still had
That's what they
left.
told you.
Yeah, that's what I was told. Yeah. And
But yet we
I know
find
people.
nanotech all throughout the patents, even documents from the drug companies on their own websites, in the FDA's documents. It's all over the place.
Pfizer doesn't even call it a vaccine on their website. Like when they go through it, they call it mRNA technology.
Right.
That's
Right.
what they call it. Okay.
So what, I mean, honestly, what the hell? I mean, what, why? I'm really glad we're having you on here today. I think this is actually the bigger story than everything that we just talked about. That there's an effort to silence you because you're digging a little too deep, I guess, into the nanotech that is in these so-called vaccines. I mean, that's the story.
Yeah, there is a big, to say, I mean, I've always been very open, I think, and generous with my research. I don't say, but to silence, yeah, that there is nanotech. That's been a big part of it. And
Wow.
definitely to silence, I think the attempt's been more to just discredit me, but I'm an analyst and a med legal advisor. I literally read documents for a living. That's what I do. I go through thousands of pages, of documents, and I simplify it for doctors. I
Right.
simplify it for attorneys. It's just because this is the way, this is what I do for a living. If people knew that this was nanotechnology, meaning electromagnetic devices, you know, that can communicate with external electromagnetic devices, they would have never agreed to being injected with them.
That's right. So, okay, this is really astonishing, but let me wrap up your letter here, because this article you have on Substack is kind of like a template that people can use themselves, and they can use their own name and their own local, you know, doctors or county names and so on. But here you're saying, as an example, I recommend educating residents on how to take criminal action against the manufacturers under state and federal laws that regulate the use of bioweapons. And I think you make a really important point here. Just in a broad sense, the FDA liability shield for these companies cannot shield companies from engaging in biological weapons, weapons of mass destruction deployment against civilian populations. I mean, that's absurd. It's a violation of the Geneva Convention,
Yeah, it's a violation of the Geneva Convention. And when Russia called out the United States for doing it, the United States said, no, we have something called dual use of research funds, and we can develop bioweapons. We just can't deploy them on civilians. That was their response. Well, they did deploy
these
on civilians.
Right, they are deploying them on civilians.
Yeah.
Wow. So how does this ever stop? You know, this is a global extermination experiment. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
When does this ever stop? Because they can just roll out another weapon. They probably are planning to do so. And then claim it's the next pandemic, and you have to take a new jab for that.
Well, that's why it's so important for people to understand that these injections are weapons of biowarfare. That the lipid nanoparticle technology has always been developed as a weapon of biowarfare for purposes of doing non-human genetic editing to the human genome and delivering weapons. I can go back to a 1996 patent with Dr. Malone's name on it that says that the cationic liposome technology was used to deliver cobra venom toxin and ricin.
Cobra venom toxin.
And ricin. And ricin is only a weapon. It has no therapeutic use whatsoever. So these were always developed as weapons. And, you know, the government working with the industrial medical, you know, complex, you know, for decades now has just been doing, you know, mRNA research on cancer victims. We've talked about this, people with rare autoimmune diseases that have days, weeks, or months left to live, so that when they die after they're injected with the weapons, they can just say it was the disease.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, and that's what they're saying now. When people die now, they're saying it was COVID.
Yeah. But these are, we're talking about, you know, 6-month-old babies, you know, young girls, young boys, who right. had their whole lives in front of them. We're not talking about a stage 4 cancer patient who had 3 days left to live. And they're exterminating them. They're murdering them.
But
that's what's happening.
Back to my pending question here. If, you know, people, even members of law enforcement, their children are being exterminated. And so far they're just standing back and allowing it to happen. In fact, many, many parents who may be cops or working for the state of Florida, let's say, or working for the county, they take their children in to get injected, and then those children die, and they still do nothing, many of them. I mean, it's humanity has become so passive that they will just line up and die.
I think people are, they just don't see evil in the world. I mean, what Carl Jung said, if you that's why he did all that shadow work, right? You have to acknowledge the evil that you have in your own heart. Otherwise you won't see it in the world. And if you refuse to see evil in the world, you're going to be annihilated to the exact level of your naivete. And I think that's part of what's going on, is that people just aren't acknowledging it. And for me, when I spoke to victims, when I showed them that October 22nd, 2020 slide, where the FDA knew all of those serious diseases were going to be an outcome, you know, the neurological dysfunctions, the myocarditis, the strokes, the blood clotting, you could see a light bulb went off. Something switched in their in their persona. They went from, I just don't want this to happen to anyone else, to, you know, let's go get those evil people. They want justice. Because I think a lot of people are thinking, you know, oh, this was just a vaccine gone wrong. No, it's a bioweapon going according to plan is what it is.
Very important point. It's a bioweapon going important according to plan.
Yeah.
This is a global depopulation agenda, and it's right on schedule.
I think they're ahead of schedule.
You think they're ahead of schedule?
I think they were surprised at how many people lined up, in especially like in America, and just took the shot.
Well, I'm shocked too.
I am too. I just thought never in a million years is someone going to take a product under Operation Warp Speed and inject it into their body. I thought there's no way they would do it to their children.
You and I come at this from a point of view of still being intelligent and rational, and we live in a society of the most insanely dumbed down morons that it's beyond imagination. I mean, and this is a true story. A member of my family recently went to a doctor's office and was attempting to pay for services, and the doctor's assistant at the desk there said, it's $398. And my family member gave them $400 in cash. Mm-hmm. The person could not calculate the change. Tried to use a calculator.
No.
Yes, tried to use a calculator. Couldn't figure out the $2. My family member finally said, look, it's $2. And I kid you not, the person behind the desk said, how do I know that that's the right answer?
No.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's like, if these people, I mean, they're so dumb. They're beyond insanely stupid.
That's not everybody. So
yeah, I know it's not everybody, but those are people who work for doctors, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, one of the things that I know as a communication expert though too is that people, they don't tend to believe facts and evidence. They believe people. And that's why we need to push other experts to tell the truth, and we need the media to. So like, for example, the fact that President Trump has not called these weapons is a major problem. Like, let's say I had a brother in the military. Now, I could call my brother in the military, hypothetically, I have three brothers, none of them in the military, and say, whatever you do, don't get the shot. Look, I do this for a living. I've always taken care of the family. I'm an analyst. Don't get it. My mother could call them, right, and tell them the same thing. But, you know, if they're in the military, they might say, well, if this was truly not safe, President Trump would tell me.
Right.
So the power, or Tucker Carlson, or, he followed Rachel Maddow. But people believe people that they get information from that they see as a leader. And them not saying something is more powerful than a family member, a loved one, and even a spouse sometimes, what they have to say. So there's a lot of responsibility on the shoulders of our leaders and of our media. And the fact that they're not telling people that these are weapons, that the manufacturers need to be criminally charged for this because they knew this was going to cause disease, disabilities, and death. The fact that they're not saying that is enabling literally the manufacturers to get away with murder.
It's complicity in terrorism. I mean, this is bioweapons terrorism.
Yeah.
Combined with psychological terrorism from the media, combined with financial terrorism.
That's a good point. They're taking an active role in the psychological warfare.
They are.
Or in the extrinsic fraud. They are misrepresenting material facts and evidence to the American people, causing the disease, disabilities, and death of innocent children and adults.
Exactly. It makes you wonder how many Americans will still be alive in 10 years. You know, with all the infertility, the spontaneous abortions, plus the myocarditis deaths, and who knows what else is happening, all the strokes, you know.
People need to speak up. I do want to give people hope, though, too, because it was on your show when I went through the EDTA, how it stops, it stays, the somehow stops, it slows down this technology, dissolves it somehow. And I know Dr. Anna Malhasia in Washington, she's been using EDTA successfully to clear people's blood.
Oh, that's great.
I've personally had probably about 20 EDTA IV treatments, and it's helped me tremendously.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, I'm with you on that. I want to give people solutions as well, and we do consistently on the show. But what you brought us today is jaw-dropping. It points at the horrifying truths that we must face. So, look, in wrapping this up, by the way, what's your summary of this, or the final point you want to make here?
The final point, we'll go to my Substack, Demand Florida. What is it called? I just wrote it before we got on. The Karen Kingston Substack. It's a free letter. It's long. I mean, you're going to have to take time to go through it. There's another one that's called Can We Talk? It's shorter. You can start there. That's free. And understand some of these key points. And share them with people. I've been asked to put together a brochure, just like I used to make brochures, for the doctors and educational brochures. So I'm going to work on that next. But let people know this information. It's important, and let people know. I think a good way to approach people in your community and your family is that, I always go to the scripture. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, a wise mind. And because you love them, you need to talk to them about this information, that this knowledge that you have, because you want to protect them. You don't want them to be afraid, but you want them to be protected.
Right.
And I think people need to start handing this information out. Print out that Substack, hand it out to pharmacists and offices. Go to the pediatrician offices. I think we do need to start a campaign across the pediatricians' offices.
Yeah.
I mean, my blood is just boiling what they're doing to the children with these
Absolutely.
shots.
Yeah. No, it's beyond horrifying. It's pure evil. It's in my view, it's satanic what they're doing. But you are doing an amazing job of shedding light on this. And Karen, you're always welcome here.
Thank
And
you.
I'm really glad you're using Substack and getting your content out that way. And of course, we'll have you back as you have more information. In the meantime, I would encourage everybody to visit your Substack. It's karenkingston.substack.com. It's called The Kingston Report. And you can be a supporter, you can be a subscriber, you can be emailed every time she posts something new there, which is how Substack works. And Karen, keep me posted, and we'll do our best to spread the word and have you back on when you have another bombshell to drop. Because you do more bombing raids than the Russian Air Force at this point. I mean, it's incredible. You're just dropping bombs, document bombs, I should say, every time. Amazing.
Yeah, the one that's up there that's featured right now, the one on the DoD contract, that's a subscriber one. But the Pfizer DoD contract clearly articulates that these contain devices.
Wow.
So
Wow.
yeah, so we have to start saying that, Mike. It's not a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
People were injected with nanotechnology devices. They're electromagnetic devices.
Well, there we go. So
Yeah.
keep me posted. We'll have you back. In the meantime, don't lose hope. Keep exercising your voice. We'll do
Thank
our
you.
best to amplify that with you. And maybe we'll still have some enough people left to save where we won't lose human civilization, right? That's our goal, is to still have enough of us surviving that we can rebuild society.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we do want. We want to have children and grandchildren and great great grandchildren. So,
Indeed.
yeah.
Indeed.
Thank you.
All right, Karen, thank you for joining me today. We appreciate you. And for all of you watching, as always, share this video, and you can repost it with our permission. Go ahead and do so. And link to Karen Kingston's site on Substack, and give us credit back here at Brighteon.com, which continues to be censored, by the way, by Twitter. Another piece of information relevant to the fact that we're all being silenced in different ways. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? What Elon Musk doesn't want you to know, the things that are happening on this show. Kind of interesting. So thank you for watching. I'm Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com, and that was Karen Kingston from The Kingston Report. God bless you all. Be safe. We'll talk again soon. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com. And if you haven't yet tried our hand-roasted, certified organic fair trade coffee, you should check this out. I have a bag here on my desk. This is good stuff. And we have different varieties available here in the store. There's a low acid blend here that's available. You can get three bags or you can get one bag, 100% organic, certified organic, and lab tested. So did you know that a lot of coffee, or some of it, can be high in cadmium? Just like chocolate can sometimes be high in lead, coffee can be high in cadmium sometimes. It depends on where it's grown, but we test, of course, for lead and cadmium, plus glyphosate, plus microbiology. So if you get coffee from us, it is laboratory tested, it is certified organic, it is fair trade, and it is incredibly delicious. People truly rave about this coffee. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker, so I don't know how good it is, but people tell me it's amazing and they love it. So check it out, healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for supporting us and for supporting this show.